Glacier uniquely focuses on informing and inspiring the next generation of college and university students by looking for innovative ways to recruit high school students. They are always looking for new ways to recruit with the best interest of students in mind, something that has been important to Glacier since day one. Glacier offers the largest high school advertising network in North America. This unique platform allows higher education marketers the opportunity to place massive billboard-style ads directly inside feeder high schools, leverage influential students as brand ambassadors, and layer in a robust digital advertising component. If you are ready to take your high school recruitment to the next level or want to learn more about how Glacier can help you, visit their website at www.weareglacier.org. Welcome back, everybody. This is the EdUp Experience podcast, where we make education your business. Dr. Joe Sallustio here with you again on another amazing episode with another amazing guest. And no, we will never stop. We will do this forever until my hair turns gray, which there's not much room left for more gray hair. So maybe we won't do it forever, but we're going to do it for as long as we can. I will tell you the EdUp Experience. We have some exciting things going on. As you guys, if you're avid listeners of the podcast, you know, we've recently passed 300 episodes. We are currently writing a book that's going to synthesize information from the 100 plus college and university presidents that we've interviewed on this podcast that I think everybody in higher education is going to benefit from, because how could you not benefit from these amazing leaders? We're going to talk diversity, inclusion. We're going to talk finance. Hint, hint on my guest today. I'm going to bring her in right away, because what we have to talk about is just too dang important not to maximize every single minute. Her name is Kristen Marino, and she is managing editor of Money Rates. Kristen, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. I love talking about college students and finance, so I'm really happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you. And as we discussed prior to this episode, that I have my audio interface. I have the sound effect buttons. They are not working properly. So our audience is going to bear with me. Hopefully that I at least try to use them and bear with me, that I'm learning along with everybody else. So again, I'm going to say our guest today, Kristen Marino. And then you get a little, and then it just drops off abruptly. I am not a technologist. Button your work.
That's okay.
What I am is a person who's been in higher education for about 20 years in both for-profit and non-profit educational institutions, both public, private, and for-profit. And there is one thing in particular and one theme that seems to be foundational no matter what student we're talking about, no matter what type of institution we're talking about. And it is a lack of financial literacy among students. The Money Rates just put out its financial literacy guide for students to help them avoid more debt. So talk to us about the report. Why do you do it? How did it come to be? And why is it so important for students to be, I mean, we know why it's important for them to be aware of their finances, but why is Money Rates feeling the responsibility to keep students up to date?
Well, I think it's just a place where we've sort of been lacking in the past, right? We prepare them so much for college academically and physically, and we warn them about things that could happen to them on campus and how they need to be careful. But I think at least for some parents, they send their kids to colleges without thinking too much about having them learn these financial practices, because they sort of think, well, you know, we'll worry about that later. For now, let them have fun. They don't have a lot of money anyways. They can sort out their finances later when they're making meaningful money after they graduate. And so I think we've sort of lacked that too. So not only that, but then not having a way for students to come to school and learn, you know, have a class or even a financial health center that they can go to. You know, we have the health center, we have the counseling center, and we have the academic advisement center, but where's the financial health center in all this? So I think that that's where we sort of saw the lack and realized that there were some good foundational things we could offer to students to get them started on the right path.
One of the stats that you have in and around the report that's I guess it's not shocking. I'm not shocked, but it is shocking at the same time. And it's, you know, 40 to 45% of college students take a personal finance course, but around 70% take out student loans. So we're talking
a big chunk of students
that just don't understand how a loan works, how repayment works, what an interest rate might be. And you think about the stuff affecting you for the rest of your life on how you take on loans and all aspects of your life. And there's a major gap there that I know is built in also systemically, right? There's first gen students of color, low income students that are probably not as versed in financial literacy topics because whatever school they attended or couldn't attend didn't teach it, you know, versus a student in a more affluent area that might have an advantage. What's in that stat? What do you guys find around that?
Well, what I found that was interesting about that stat is that it was actually, this was so interesting to me, that it was 40% of newly enrolled four-year students, and it was 45% of two-year students. Right then, that tells me there's a gap. So we're saying 40% of the four-year students have participated, and 45. So it almost sounds to me like these students that are going to these two-year institutions are just a little bit more savvy, which is a whole other conversation about money and about sort of, you know, the cost of things and the value of their education and that sort of thing. So the fact that 70% of college students take out loans, and that average amount is $28,000. So think about that. A student, you know, 22, 23, I was much older when I graduated from college, I took a lot longer, but they're walking out the doors of that school, $28,000 in debt, which we all know that, we've all talked about that, we've all heard that. But, you know, there's this process that goes along with the 4 years while they're taking on this debt. You know, they apply through the FAFSA, they get approved for this debt, and they take it on, and they just sort of say, yeah, you know, I'll have it, whatever. And I know even some of them, it covers more than their tuition. They get a check back after their tuition's been covered. It might be $1,000, it might be $200. And then they've got this money, and they're supposed to just, you know, I guess they don't tell them what to do with it, like put this towards your other school stuff. And so, you know, maybe it'll go towards a spring break vacation. Maybe it will go towards food. That's great. But the fact that they don't even, I think, realize that the money, they might not even need the money, that the student loan is being offered to them, they'll take it anyway. So I just think there's just such a lack of understanding. I think they sign on the dotted line because they want that tuition paid. And I think they just, 4 years seems so far away, and it comes so fast. And then you've got this debt. And if you don't know how to pay debt, if you don't know how to use a checking account, if you haven't learned those basic tools, it's going to be hard to start paying on that debt.
Yes. Right. And that's why we see loan defaults. That's why we see students, you know, disappear from their financial responsibilities. I've been worked in higher ed for a long time. I've seen all of those things happen, and it becomes overwhelming. It becomes overwhelming at every point, before, during, and after, to understand loans, understand financial aid in general. What can students do to minimize debt? What can they do to better manage their, besides taking a course on what is financial, you know, on financial literacy, which, you know, it helps, but it's not going to, I don't know. I think just a basic course in financial literacy gives you the foundational things you might need to know, but you really have to keep your eyes on it. It's ever evolving with how the interest rates change. What type of loans am I taking out? How does it change from award year to award year? How can students minimize all that confusion?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think a course would be great. It would be great if the FAFSA people did a course, but even then, like, you really have to apply it to the real world. So I feel like, you know, the first thing they can do is, you know, when you find out, when you go to pay your tuition, usually go into your student account, you see, oh, I've got a loan for $7,000 for this year. You know, it goes up every year too, which they don't understand. Like, what you get your freshman year is not the same as what you get your senior year. Even though you may be taking less classes your senior year, you're getting more money. So then you start to get these refund checks that are like $1,000. just understand that first and foremost, you don't have to take that extra $1,000 if you don't need to. You can just take the amount of what you need from that loan and give the rest back. And then that's $1,000 less of a debt that you have. However, if you want to keep that money, that's great. But just earmark it for, you know, school expenses. Put it aside in a special account for that. And I think beyond that, I don't know how many students actually do this. I should have looked it up, but you can pay interest on your student loans while you're in school. I know that seems like, why would I do that? But if you're able to do it, even your senior year, you know, you're working more, whatever, maybe start paying interest on those student loans. You can do that. And again, use student aid only for tuition and essentials. I can't say it enough. And unfortunately, you know, I just practice what I preach, because back in the day, I didn't always do that, but that's what needs to happen. And, you know, this is kind of in a different realm, but, you know, we apply for scholarships. Some students apply for scholarships, you know, when they're freshmen, and they don't do it again. They stop doing that. You know what? There's still scholarships for you as a junior and a senior. Apply for those. You can use that money for living expenses. And I think that that's really important, to replace money that you don't have to pay back with those loans as much as you possibly can.
Glacier uniquely focuses on informing and inspiring the next generation of college and university students by looking for innovative ways to recruit high school students. They are always looking for new ways to recruit with the best interest of students in mind, something that has been important to Glacier since day one. Glacier offers the largest high school advertising network in North America. This unique platform allows higher education marketers the opportunity to place massive billboard-style ads directly inside feeder high schools, leverage influential students as brand ambassadors, and layer in a robust digital advertising component. Every campaign is custom-built for your institutional goals while taking into account Glacier's robust knowledge and expertise in recruiting high school students. This comes from over 8 years of experience, over 1,000 campaigns executed, yearly research papers, and quarterly roundtables with high school students. Nobody understands the high school demographic better than Glacier. If you're ready to take your high school recruitment to the next level or want to learn more about how Glacier can help you, visit their website at www.weareglacier.org. So Kristen, you know, I'm really interested in what kind of reaction you get when you release this report. I mean, it's been out, what, a little short of a month. It's really student focused, and not just this, when we think student, I think a lot of people think traditional student, like, oh, they're 18, they don't know anything about finance. But we're also talking about adult students. We're talking about some college, no degree, they're having to take out loans again, but it's been 15 years. They have to re-acclimate themselves with finance, especially if they're in an economically challenged space, so to speak. What kind of feedback do you get from parents, from students, when you release this type of report? Or does it just sit out there and you hope people will find it? Or is it something that you feel and see a lot of engagement with?
You know, it's the way that you described that non-traditional student was exactly me. I started out at 18 going to college, and after about a year and a half in a sorority and doing my thing, I left. So yeah, it was fun. And I have some lifelong friends, but I left, but I went back when I was 25. And by the time I graduated, I had two small children. So I definitely get that. And I think the engagement is good. And I think I would like to, I love the topic, and I love this guide and how it's sort of geared towards people who really don't have a financial background. And that reaction has been really positive. But I think what I've realized, what we need next is a guide for the non-traditional student. They know about checking accounts. They know, you know, that credit cards can get you into trouble if you're not careful. You know, we need to look at some of the things that these non-traditional students are facing financially, and do a whole other guide on that. Is what I really see, what the reaction has been, is like, this is great, but what about, you know, the mom of two who's in school, hasn't been there for 10 years. That student base is so like near and dear to my heart that I really see a need for more information on for those students on finances.
Yeah, and you know, so much of it is, it's like budgets. What's my incoming? What's my outgoing? What is my discretionary income? What is discretionary income? What do I owe? When do I have to pay it back? When do these start? One of the things that I found through my time in higher ed and still to this day is that students don't understand, when I was doing undergraduate work, the Pell Grant that you qualify for, this, you know, quote unquote free money from the government. But if you quit school, it's not like they just forgive that. You have to start paying things back and shortly after you leave. So there's these little ins and outs. And I think that's to be expected when you're dealing with loans and such, but there's not a lot of understanding around it at any level, right? And that's one of the challenges. And getting back to the whole financial literacy piece, do you think, and do you find through this reporting, that there is a gap in K through 12? Are we just not teaching kids about finances so they get to college and they know nothing? Is that something that you guys tackle and cover in Money Rates?
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, kind of in conjunction with this piece that we did, I also did one. It was more of like it wasn't so much a report as it was just like a guide to facilitating that with K through 12. You know, we included some ideas for some games. You know, there's some really cool phone apps out there now that help kids. Like they're fun apps, right? They, you know, even if a kid gets, you know, $20 a week for an allowance, this is a fun app that kind of will, that they can go on and it can help them figure out, oh, I'm going to put $10 towards, I want to save for a trip to Disneyland. And I want to give, you know, this much to charity and whatnot. So it starts young. And I think that's really important. It's more along life lessons at that age too, but you know, definitely with the safety net of the parents. But as they go from like junior high to high school, you know, they may have a job, and so they may have a bank account. And I think it's absolutely crucial. It is also a crucial area that we would like to explore more and actually have done some work on.
So let's take a step back to take a step forward. Let's hear about Money Rates. Let's hear, what do you cover? Because it's not just about students and student loans. You've got just a tremendous amount of content on Money Rates. It all could apply to students, but it applies to the general adult learner, lifelong learner. There's just a lot of resources in here. So just short of the name telling us what you cover, what is the type of content you guys are covering and the stories that you're writing?
Sure. So Money Rates started out as just definitely a way to let people know where to find the best savings accounts, the highest rate, because savings account rates have gotten so low that, you know, helping people find the best rates for all that. And we've really branched out. A lot of stuff we're doing is a lot of reviews on, like I said, these apps now are huge. There's an app for everything. If you want to buy cryptocurrency, there's an app for that. If you want to invest in real estate, there's an app for that. If you want to, again, like teach kids about money, there's an app for that. So we're reviewing a lot of those, letting our readers kind of know what they can look for, what's out there. We also sort of go through all the different stages of life, right? Like right today, we're talking about students and, you know, the finances that are important to them. But, you know, we're also looking at people who want to buy a house for the first time or who do want to save for their own kids to go to college. And I, you know, that's important too. And even retirement. And when we say retirement, we think of people that are older, but that's not the time to start for retirement. You know, the time to start. And again, this, I sound like a bro, I know we hear this all the time, but really your first job out of college, you're 23, 24, you're not going to put into that 401k. You want that money now, but I'm telling you, it makes a huge difference. I wish I knew then what I knew now, because really, that's important to the same audience.
Yeah. If we knew now, then what we know now, we would have all bought Tesla stock the minute we,
oh my God, right?
Apple or Tesla.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, Amazon. It's funny because, and I'm like, you're probably not like this, but I was having a conversation with my wife the other day, and she's like, well, why don't you know how to buy all these stocks? And I'm like, you know what? I never learned. I mean, I know how to go and buy a stock and watch it, but you have to know how to research that stuff. You have to be on top of it. And it's a skill that you have to learn. You have to take courses and know what you're doing. Maybe it comes naturally to some. for the average person, it's not like they're just investing in the stock market 24/7. It's a certain, you know, group of people. Same thing as you talk about, and you go back to the student loan problem we're having in this country. So much of it falls on us as educators to tell students, right? The number one thing you can do is to not take any more money than you need. But we know that students, their perception of need and their actual financial need might be different, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's really important. And the same, yeah. And the same thing goes, you know, like for all of us, right? It's not just for the students. We're all in that boat. But yeah, I think it's really hard. You know, you have to, and that's something that you should be thinking about again, when we go back to the younger kids, like from a very early age, we can talk about needs versus wants. I mean, right. That should be a really basic lesson that we're instilling, even in, you know, as young as 4 and 5, like, I know you want that, but do you need it? You know? And I think we can do that early on, but yeah, as far as, investing in the stock market and all that kind of stuff, that's gotten a lot easier for us too. Right. You know, a lot of things have gotten harder, but a lot of things have gotten easier. Now, you know, we've got, again, really great apps that can teach us how to do that. I, you know, there's been some buzz around the Robinhood app and other apps that sort of help people learn how to invest. And I wish we had more of that for college students and younger, but we are getting there. We do start to have some of that stuff that appeals to people who like using the technology to learn more about finances.
What I really like about your guide, and I would actually encourage anybody who is dealing with undergrad students in particular, this for me is a handout, right? It's a handout to say, mm-hmm. Hey, look, here's a guide, literally use it, follow it. It's on moneyrates.com. It's below, right below the fold under top stories, 2021 guide, to back to school finances for college students. Covers understanding your aid. Here's how to understand it. Here's how you get out of student loan debt. Here's a link that takes you to a place where you learn how to get out of student debt. If you, you know, there's a earn while you learn. What is work study? Here's a question. Here's what the question is on the FAFSA that you have to answer if you are interested in work study. And here's the link out to find out. Open a checking account. Here are all the 10 free checking accounts that you have for college students. And creating a budget. Here's a link on how to create a budget. It's not that you've just covered this. You've provided the attached resources and a link out so that the student can literally, if they follow this, be extremely prepared. Was that the intent, that you're going to point them to the area they need to find that support?
Yes. You know, one thing, you know, when we talked about feedback earlier and how people really react to resources. We can tell people what they should do and how they should be doing it, but resources are so crucial to give people. I'm just such a stickler on that. Anytime I want to put any information out there, whether it be students, retirees, I want to provide them with resources. I don't want them to just take my word for what I'm saying. I want them to see where they can get it. You know, we need actionable advice for college students and everybody else. They want to see actionable advice and they want resources. And so we're happy to be able to provide that for them.
You've had insights from experts. Investors, yeah. Financial advisors, relationship managers, educators, all telling students what to consider. That's huge, right? Because you need, if you don't have people telling you to be careful, it's easy to over borrow, right? And if we can just control the over borrowing, it would make a huge difference. And it's having those outside opinions from very successful finance savvy individuals that could make the difference.
Yeah, I think it's really important to get them involved in the discussion. You know, we sometimes, you know, when we are just in the college environment, when we're, you know, working in colleges or working with college students, we sort of think, you know, take my word for it. But it's really good to bring, you know, people, you know, financial advisors, you think, oh, they only advise rich people. Why do I need them? It's really important to bring them in on this conversation. I think this whole country should be really like aware of the good we can do for college students by getting them financially savvy. So by the time they graduate, They are savvy. They know what they're doing. And I think that these experts really are important to making that happen.
If you go through this site, so much of what you guys do is important. There's a story in here about teaching kids about money with mobile apps, like you mentioned.
Yes, that's what I was talking to you about earlier.
Yeah,
yes.
Just the whole topic of that is important, because how do you teach kids about money? It's not like you can sit them on a cash register anymore, because that's how I learned about money is my grandfather ran a fish fry, in upstate New York. And when I was a kid, he put me on the cash register. And so people would pay and I'd give him change. And he'd talk to me about value and dollars and where do I put it and how do I save it? And you can't have that exchange anymore. So mobile apps can do that. Monopoly can do that. We're playing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. See.
She'll give me the $500 bill because she thinks it's less than the one. And I'm like,
yeah, okay, that's how I learned too, was that kind of stuff. I don't think parents bring out board games anymore. Is that
sad?
Strange. I used to love that.
My kids die to play Monopoly. They want to be the banker. They want to handle the money. I'm like, sure, handle the money. And then I'm getting a bunch of $500 bills when they do, so we got to work on that.
That's awesome.
What do you think let me ask you this. We asked this the same two questions to every guest at the end of the episodes. And that's number one, what did we miss about money rates that you want to say today? Maybe it's something you were hoping to say that I didn't ask you about. Anything you have going on, any upcoming articles or reports that we should keep our eyes on? And number two, what do you see as the future of higher education?
Well, I just in talking with you and sort of mulling all of this over, what to look for very soon is a money guide for the non-traditional student. I mean, that, like I said, that's so near and dear.
When that's done, so we can help you.
I will.
Push that out, because there's going to be a lot of interested parties in that.
I am going to be really, yes, I'm so glad. This has just been such a good brainstorming session. That's where we're going next with that. And I also think too, we have another report coming out that's really interesting for people. And this could pertain to college students too, is, savings account rates, CD rates, they're so low. It's almost like, ooh, you put all this money in savings and you're not getting anything out. So we have a new report coming out on the best rates, America's best rates. The good thing about the world nowadays is that we can do everything online, including opening a savings account and putting money into it, knowing that it's FDIC insured. It's not just going into the ether. So look for that real soon. That'll give us an idea of some of the banks that are still offering decent rates, right? I don't think you have to have $500,000 in the bank to get these rates either. So it's America's best rates, and we're working on that right now, and that'll be up. And that, even if you're like in 10th grade and you have a savings account, and you have $50 in it, you still want to get, a good rate for your money. So look for that. And then your second question was, go tell me again.
My second question was, what do you see as the future of higher education, Kristen? And this is the one where we quote you, put you all over social media. You'll never be able to get away from it when you answer. No, we won't do any of that, but we do want to know your opinion.
I feel like the future of higher education is that it's for everyone. Higher education's for everyone. But don't stop learning. Like I said, I took a long time to graduate from college. I felt weird sometimes. Don't give up. Keep going. I would love to see campuses be more friendly for people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. I feel like it's still such a young person vibe, but higher education is for everyone.
And then the last question. This is just to know a little bit more about you, Kristen. It's the keep you on your toes question. I should have asked you at the beginning, but I'm going to ask you now. Maybe I'll move it to the beginning. Who knows? If you were going to enter a room, Kristen, and every single time you did, a song was playing, your entrance music, what song would you have playing, Kristen?
I would have the song, I'm probably going to date myself, Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears, but it's been redone a lot of good times. I think Lorde redid it, but that's my entrance song.
I like it. I like it. That's a good one. We've had a couple of good ones. Some our last college president we interviewed said "Eye of the Tiger." I said, "Well, that's a good one." Yeah. So, well, this has been another episode of the EdUp Experience with your guest today, Kristen Marino. She is managing editor of Money Rates. And you guys can go to the Money Rates website, moneyrates.com, find all the resources we talked about today, all of the resources we didn't talk about today. And I promise you, they are plenty of very relevant resources for the average person, the student, anyone really, about finance and finance preparation. So Kristen, thank you for the work that you're doing. It's important work, and it's also inconsistent work in a lot of places. And I love the consistency that you guys are providing around this topic.
Thank you very much for having me. I love talking to you. I love talking about college students and college and higher education. And this has been really fun.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've just ed up. Glacier uniquely focuses on informing and inspiring the next generation of college and university students by looking for innovative ways to recruit high school students. They are always looking for new ways to recruit with the best interest of students in mind, something that has been important to Glacier since day one. Glacier offers the largest high school advertising network in North America. This unique platform allows higher education marketers the opportunity to place massive billboard-style ads directly inside feeder high schools, leverage influential students as brand ambassadors, and layer in a robust digital advertising component. If you are ready to take your high school recruitment to the next level or want to learn more about how Glacier can help you, visit their website at www.weareglacier.org.